I mean, you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. How many of y'all are on TikTok? All right, cool. I got bad news for you. I'm not. Right. I'm not an expert on TikTok. Now, what I am an expert on is listening to people say stupid stuff, right? And my understanding is the Venn diagram of TikTok and people saying dumb things is pretty, it's a circle. I'm an adult, so I should just see TikTok reels on Instagram a couple weeks later. That's how that goes. When we decided to do this, it was really prompted by the fact of there's just so much information out there, and the way our own culture has shifted in the last 10 years is that there is this rapid release of information that's happening. People are inundated with different topics, different things, that whether it's called research or data or conversations, just peppered with stuff over and over again, and it's tough to keep up with it. And it's begun to shape the way, one, that we think about the Bible, Jesus. It shapes the way we think about religion in general. But it's also made it increasingly difficult to talk to one another because we're not following the same accounts, right? And there has, at the same time that there's been this rise in getting our information from social media, there has been this growing distrust of people that we actually know. I don't know why that is, but I do know that it is just a reality. And so there's just these competing voices all around us. And we want to take some time to look at things that are being said about these cornerstone issues regarding our faith and what it means to be a follower of Jesus, see where things may be getting off track a little bit, and then try to course correct. All right? That's all we want to do. I'll set some expectations here in a second, but I'll tell you this is why I think it's important. Genesis 3, we're not even out of the Garden of Eden, and this is what happens. It says, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. You have here this account of the fall, right? It begins with this really simple and subtle deceptive attack just by asking, did God really say that? Can you really trust what God has said? There is sowing seeds of doubt, sowing seeds of a lack of trust, and getting us to question whether or not we've understood things rightly. And this is not limited to TikTok. It's not limited to articles that you read or podcasts. But the way we always begin in our drift from God begins with listening to competing voices, turning our ears away from what the scriptures have said and to what somebody else has said about them. Eve's own problem here is like when the serpent says, did God really say that? She recounts what she's heard, but then she adds to it. God never said they couldn't touch the tree. God never said that. Just a little bit of a lack of trust, though, sewn in there causes her to start wondering and adding to and creating more and more problems. We want to be aware of that. And listen, I'm not telling you that everyone saying weird stuff on the internet is the devil, okay? And I'm not trying to tell you that everybody's trying to lead you astray or everyone's trying to be malicious or they're intending to be deceptive or even out trying to destroy Christianity or the church. That's not what's happening with every single account, okay? Everybody with a different opinion isn't evil. Everybody with a different perspective isn't doing something wrong, right? But it does highlight for you, what I am telling you is that from the beginning there has always been an attempt to discredit the Word of God. That's where it starts, with sowing seeds of doubt about whether or not we can trust what God has said, to replace it with any number of alternatives and to watch it corrupt us. And my genuine concern is that the more we invite that type of corrupting confusion in, it often goes hand in hand with reading our Bibles less. Right? We take in more content, but that content is very rarely scripture. And so all of this commentary, bad commentary about the Bible, about doctrine, starts to outweigh the very minimal amount of Bible that we're taking in. And it's no wonder that we're corrupted by it, right? Just slowly moving away from our love of God. Let me give you just what our goals are for the week, or for the series, right? Our goals are, one, to have some clarity on Jesus and his teaching. We just want to get clear. Who is Jesus? What has he said? Why does it matter? And how is it different just from some of this noise that's around us? Another goal that we have is just to be reminded to study our Bibles. To study our Bibles. You're going to hear me say this every week. Every week. You do not need a frame-for-frame response to every video on the internet. You need to pick up your Bible and read it. There is no amount of research, of YouTube videos you can watch, of articles you can read, or listening to people respond to specific claims anywhere that is going to replace just getting acquainted with the Bible. We have to search the Scriptures. I am 1,000% convinced that one of the reasons many of us, most of us, all of us, whatever, are easily pulled away or trapped by lies that we see on places like TikTok, anywhere on the internet, is just because we're not as familiar with our Bibles as we really should be. I'm not trying to beat anybody over the head with that. I'm not trying to be mean or anything like that. But I do think it's the reality. We are far more familiar with everything else, with current events, with who's posting what, with who's mad about what, with whether or not the people I like are angry at this group over here so I can be angry at them too, instead of just reading what God said. We would all, myself included, would do really well to put our phones down and open up God's Word. And every week we need to be reminded by that, that God's Word is, it's not just something God said a long time ago. It is God speaking to us. It is God's Word to you. God is speaking when you read His Word. It's directing you, it's shaping you, it's forming you, it's cleaning you, it's turning you into the kind of person that He wants you to be. We need that reminder just to study our Bibles. And then the last goal that we've got is just for each of us to be able to grow in discernment. To grow in discernment. We all know there's weird people in the world, right? Maybe y'all got them on your street. I don't know. We all got people around us where you're like, I don't trust what they say. They're just kind of, they're a wackadoodle. I don't put stock into their opinions. I know they're a little out there. Or you're just like, I don't respect them. I know the character of their life, and I don't really have any interest in what they have to say. If that's true of real life people that we see on a regular basis, it's no less true of strangers on the internet. Okay? They're not smarter and better because they've got a ring light around their iPhone that makes them look good when they shoot a video. They're not better because they've edited out all of their slip-ups in their speech. We're easily fooled. And what we want to do is be able to grow in discernment and kind of cut through the haze and be able to listen for how people are speaking, what they're saying, and whether or not they deserve our attention. Those are our ultimate goals through all of this. So here's what's not going to happen every week, and this may disappoint some of you. We're not going to answer every question or claim. There's just too many. There are too many questions out there to answer all of them. You've got people who, just this week while I was scrolling through trying to find what's just going to pop up in my algorithm, right? People denying that Jesus is God. People denying that Jesus and Paul are on the same page. People saying that the church instantly corrupted the teaching of Jesus. People saying Jesus never talked about things that he quite obviously talked about. People saying that Jesus actually disagreed with things that are in the Old Testament when we have no evidence for that happening. People saying that there are contradictions in the gospel story, so we shouldn't listen to any of it. We really just need to try to get to the heart of the message of Jesus, which I don't know how we can do that if there's supposed contradictions in any of it. Just thing after thing, there are so many lies out there, it's impossible for us to look at any one of them. And if we tried to do that, here's what would happen. If you had the goal of, here's the top 10 objections that just keep popping up, I'm going to watch everything I can or listen to everything I can or read everything I can about these 10 things, you're going to do that, and then 40 are going to pop up in their place. There's always a new heresy. Well, they're really just all old. There's always a new objection. And so we don't want to fall into the trap of only ever chasing down responses. That's why the goal is to grow in our ability to read and study our Bibles, so that we can notice the new things when it pops up. So we're not going to answer every question. It's just not possible. There's no shortage of questions to be raised. We're also, I'm not interested in making fun of people's questions or doubts. Like I've had my doubts. I've had my questions that needed to get answered. I've run into problems reading the Bible. I've run into issues where I was like, I don't know how to reconcile these things. I don't know what to think about this. This, if I were in charge, I wouldn't have put this here. But it's here, so what do I do? Everybody's got it. Any honest reader of the Bible is going to have that. Any honest reader of the Bible is going to encounter something in the Scriptures that runs up against what you believe, the way that you think, the way that you live, and it's going to confront you. So we're not out to make fun of any of that. We're not out to just ridicule questions. But we don't want to valorize them as well. Does that make sense? So we're not out to make fun of any of that. And we're also, like, I'm not going to give you a list of who you should and shouldn't follow, right? I'm not going to be like, here's the handle, here's this account, go follow this person, don't follow this person, because I don't know them all, and, like, it doesn't matter either. Is that the goal isn't to give you a list of do's and don'ts, right? We don't, even for TikTok, we don't need a new law. We just don't need it. That's not what we're going to do. What we are going to do is group together some big claims, particularly about Jesus, and see how we can be on guard. We're going to talk about specific claims that get circulated, but like we're not putting TikTok videos up here and doing a shot by shot response to each one, right? It's just not going to happen. If you have specific questions and you're like, this is somebody who keeps popping up on my feed, right? And it's rattled me, and I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to respond. You can come talk to me. You can go talk to Jeremy. You can talk to Tali. You can talk to anybody who's like, you're like, they know their Bible. What you don't need to do is just shut down and just like soak in that, because it's only going to like just eat away at you. It's just not what we're going to be doing every week here for this. Okay. Let's ask this. Why tonight the goal is kind of just set the stage. We're going to talk about two big claims at the end, and I'm going to show you how people kind of, how this happens, how we get sucked in, how things, the goalposts get moved, how people utilize these short, bite-sized clips to get us to really begin doubting, worrying about things that are going on in our faith, and then the next 3 weeks that we do this, we'll talk about some specific claims. I've got my ideas about what I think need to be taught. But given that there are so many people who showed up to this, there are also some index cards in the back of the... I only put them over here because that's all we ever really need. They're here. They're outside these doors. They're little cards that look like this, okay? Some of those are some topics that we could address. Here's what you can do. If you want to make sure that we talk about something, you can grab this. Don't check more than two. If you can't check six boxes, we got 3 weeks, okay? Just think about it. Check two, no more than two. You can check other and write something in there. And if enough of y'all are like, this is the one that matters, this is the one that we got to get talked about, we'll talk about it. I promise. Just take it, mark it up, and then drop it in the basket in that back corner right over there, okay? Does that sound good? Sweet. All right. Social media for us has become the main vehicle for information transfer. It's where people find out what's going on. What I hear people say is that it's the main place they go to do research. But I'll just go ahead and tell you, there ain't no research going on TikTok. Y'all know that sharing your opinion is not research, right? I don't think people know that. I genuinely don't. Like, there are so many times that I run into things where they're like, well, I've done the research and this is what it said. I'm like, show me the work. Where's the data? What books are you referencing? What are you doing with like this language? What are you doing with this like form? What are you doing with this idea? How are you responding to these claims? Like, I don't know a lot, but I feel like I know my Bible okay. And it's weird to people like see people who are just making outlandish claims that have been debunked for hundreds of years, and they're like, you just haven't done the research. I don't think that's what it is. But we're fooled into thinking, man, these people look and sound like they have it all together. Maybe they're onto something that I'm not.
And it's just become a really dangerous thing. And here's how the waters get muddy. I'm going to give you kind of like, if you're watching a video and somebody's attacking a particular claim about Christianity, something that really Christians have believed for hundreds and thousands of years, typically it follows this kind of a pattern, is what you're going to see. The first thing that happens is that your confidence gets tested. Your confidence gets tested. It begins with something like, I mean, can you really know what the answer to this is? Do we really think Jesus said that he is God? Do we really believe the Bible says anything negative about this sin? And if you're listening to somebody who sounds really confident, your immediate response, especially if you're not confident in your own ability to read the Bible, is to go, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. And it just creates a shaky foundation from the get-go. Your confidence in an idea or in a topic or a text is just questioned from the get-go. You'll hear people start off either with an outlandish claim or they'll say something, whether as simple as like, Christians have always misunderstood this, or the church inserted this idea later, and there's not even enough time for you to recover from that claim before they're just on to the next thing. It's rapid-fire information with no time to respond or think about it. That's not research either. That's propaganda. That's what that is. Confidence gets tested. The second thing that happens is meaning gets questioned. Meaning gets questioned. And so you could, for instance, I saw a guy who begins every single one of his videos with, I'm a scholar of the Bible. I'm like, don't do that. Don't do that. Like, what if I started every conversation with you? I'm a pastor. So I kind of know about prayer. Like, you'd be like, you seem kind of like a proud jerk. I don't want to listen to you. Right? Every single one of the videos starts like that. He's like, Jesus in John's gospel is never considered God. I don't know if you've read the first verse of John. The first verse. Matthew and I were watching this one together. And as he's saying things, Matthew goes, not true, not true, not true. Nope, there's a Greek rule for that. Nope. He's misunderstood. But so quick, so fast, what he's saying is like, yeah, you've got that verse, but you've misunderstood it. What you think the meaning is isn't actually it. And I know a little bit of Greek, but I don't know much. And I'm going to guess the average church member doesn't know a lot of Greek. So if somebody starts throwing around Greek words, you're like, I guess that's what it is. I don't know. If he said he's a scholar of the Bible, I got to trust him. I got to believe what he said. I've already admitted that I don't have all the answers. My confidence is shaking, and now the meaning's called into question. And then once you get this rapid-fire information, the third thing that happens is confusion gets multiplied. Now you're not just unsure about whether or not you believe one thing. You're unsure about whether or not you've understood the entire Bible rightly, whether or not you even have the tools necessary to approach the text. I don't even know if I've got the right worldview to start thinking about some of these things. And when you've got your confidence shaken, when you're not sure if you believe the right thing about a text, and then all of a sudden you're just in this sea of confusion, what do? You reach for an authority. You're like, I need to go somewhere where there is certainty about what to believe here. And most of us, as Christians, will say, let's go to the Bible. So the fourth thing that happens is that the authority gets challenged. Yeah, I know you said, yeah, but we can't really trust the Bible on it either. I watched a video, actually six videos, from the same person who did the exact same thing. We'll talk about him in a minute without using his name. Where in the same sequence, he went from talking about how the Bible actually doesn't have a problem with this, and then really, the Bible, if you look at it well and you understand the context, it actually celebrates this kind of stuff. And then once that argument ran out, he was like, but it doesn't really matter because we don't need the Bible to justify any of this. Well, we went from I had misunderstood it to then the Bible actually says something different than what you were telling me it said to then it doesn't even matter if it's in the Bible or not. We started with I've misunderstood and ended with it's not worth even thinking about. Once I've eliminated the authority, once I've eliminated something that the other person is relying on, the last thing that happens is my confidence is shifted. Now, no longer am I listening to what the Bible says or what God has said through his Bible. I'm listening to what somebody else is telling me about the Bible. Listen, I love a good book. I love a good commentary. I love listening to people talk to me about the Bible. But none of it is a substitute for actually listening to the Bible. My confidence can't be in Tom Schreiner, one of my favorite commentators, right? Like, my confidence can't be in any historic theologian. My confidence has got to be in God's Word. But what videos like we see on TikTok do is they shift the confidence to the person in the video. Why? Because if they don't have thousands of followers, it's not worth their time and they're not going to make money, right? Again, another guy who I've watched his entire MO is just breaking down traditional Christian beliefs. But he only does it in part. Because if you want the full answer, good news, there's a link to his paid Substack in his bio. Well, hang on a second. You figured out a way to make money off of my confusion and doubt. That makes me think you're a charlatan. I don't have time for people who are corrupting minds and then profiting off of it, right? But that's the normal game. I'm telling you that's what's happening. And it's happening across the board without us even realizing it. This is what's going on. Just with that kind of thing, some words and phrases just to be on guard against, this isn't in your notes, like that you know people are kind of twisting things with it, is if they start talking about the secret message of Jesus or the hidden message that people have missed, or they talking about the real meaning or a long misunderstood idea, or if they start off with like, man, every Christian has missed this, or no Christian thinks about it this way, or man, I was reading my Bible, and man, nobody, I've never heard anybody say this before. It's probably wrong. It is probably wrong, because we got 2,000 years of church history, and there's a lot of brilliant thinkers who did nothing but read and study the Bible. I'm pretty confident if it's a good interpretation, it's out there. It's out there. And if it's not, you're inventing something. That's a dangerous place to be. We can talk about that another time. Okay. All right. Now listen, there's a genuine time. There's times when we need to say that we think people have gotten something wrong, where it's been misunderstood, how it needs to be corrected, and the results of better understanding of God. But what's often the case is that there are self-described scholars who say, basically everything you've thought is wrong, and I alone and all my buddies have it right. Don't listen to that. Just don't listen to that. There's a draw to this, though. We get sucked in. We doom scroll, right? We see a video that messes with our mind. I gotta go find another one. We're like addicts. Like, we just can't break away from the kind of just attack on our hearts that's going on. Much of the allure, this is your next blank, much of the allure of it comes from these bold claims that are made with 100% certainty, but very rarely are you shown any actual research. Okay, so there's bold claims, there's full confidence about it, but there's very little research, at least none that's shown. Why does that pull us in? Why is that attractive to us? One reason is because we love being on the inside. Look, we love insider information. We love being able to tell people, y'all don't know what I know. Been watching this guy on TikTok, man, blowing my world up, telling me everything new about the Bible that you've never even thought about. And we really don't want them to go find it because we want to be the people who are in the know. We love being on the inside. That's why somebody who changes their theology and becomes something that they think is better, which is great, I'm pro that, gets mad at people for believing what they believed 5 minutes ago. Okay, have you ever talked to somebody who's like, they've changed what they believe, and now they're really irritated that you're on the same page they were yesterday? Why? Because they like being in the know. They like being right. Guilty. Guilty. We just love insider information. Another reason we get drawn into it is because people who speak are confident and convincing. They speak with absolute certainty. But what I would just remind all of us is that confidence is not the same thing as showing your work. Like, being certain of my position is not the same thing as being able to say, like, and here's why. Some of y'all are teachers, right? You grade papers. You see students turn to the right, and all they do is just, they got a paper full of claims. And you're like, where are you getting that? Where's that at? Confidence just isn't that same thing. It is interesting that no, I'm not going to say it. Never mind. Okay. All right. Like having insider information, people who speak with confidence and they're convincing. And the last reason is because we are just captive to curiosity, which is way worse than it sounds. I had to read an article this week, or last week, on curiosity. And in the first paragraph, this guy called curiosity a vice. And I was like, that's so dumb. He's got to know what he's talking about. Curiosity is awesome. It's how we, like, sparks our knowledge. You get curious about something, you start chasing down information about it. Curiosity is good. And by the next page, I was convinced that curiosity is the worst thing that's ever happened to the world. Like, he's like, curiosity is a vice, not because it has to do with knowledge, but because it has to do with no real knowledge. Curiosity is a hankering. It's a crave just to know for the sake of knowing. Curiosity is not patient. There is no studiousness to it. There's no wrestling with an idea. It's just thinking on something, getting a quick fix, and moving on to the next thing. Curiosity is dangerous. And when we have a social media feed that is built on celebrating and rewarding that, we're in a bad spot. Be curious here for 60 seconds and then move on to the next thing that you can be curious about. And then the next thing. Without any patient, thoughtful recollection or recall or just sitting with it. We just crave that. Instead, we need that kind of patient studiousness. I'm going to give you two examples of where this can be deceptive for us. And these are both some real videos. I'm not going to show them again, right? And I'm not going to tell you who they are, right? And they're from two completely different worldviews, right? But I just want you to see how this can kind of work. One guy who, some of his work I'm thankful for. I think he's done some good things, and particularly like for the pro-life movement. I think he's been faithful there. I saw him speaking, and he posted a video, like a 30, 60-second clip, where he is just laying into what he's arguing for with confidence. And this is what he said. I'm not trying to pick on him, it's just a good example. He starts by poking a little bit of fun at the idea that Christians are supposed to be known for their love. He's like, isn't that such a soft approach? Like, we don't need soft Christians. We need warrior Christians. And you know how Christians, you know how we justify this? We tell everybody they'll know we're Christians by our love, and we'll point to Matthew 5 about how Jesus said we're supposed to love our enemies. Confidence is starting to erode. Is that not what that means? That's what I thought that's what that meant. You know there's actually two words for enemy that the Bible uses? Joker's about to use Greek words. I don't know Greek. This is going to be so good. He said one is the word called polemos. We get our word polemic from here. It's a public enemy, he says. Public enemy. These are people that you are at war with. They're armies that you're in battle against. The barbarians that are at the gate, man. That's a public enemy. And then there's this other word, ekthros, which is kind of like a private enemy. You got to think about that annoying lady at work who always turns you into HR, or the bully at school. That's ekthros. Did y'all know this? In Matthew 5, when Jesus says to love your enemies, he uses the Greek word ekthros. He's talking about private enemies. He's not talking about public enemies. You're never, direct quote, you're never commanded to love the barbarian horde storming the gate trying to take away your civilization. You don't need to love them. They need to fear you. And we know that because of the words Jesus used. Now, it was real convincing. It's real confident. The only problem with it is it's 100% wrong. There's not a word that came out of his mouth that was true. But you don't know that. You can't, there's not another video out there that's going to respond to it. You got kids, man. You ain't got time to go learn Greek. You don't know how to look up the word polemos. He's like, it derives from war. It's about a battle. We need to embrace that. The word polemos is not one time in any Bible, and as far as I can tell, any Greek literature ever translated enemy. Listen to me. Never And with full confidence, this joker stood in front of thousands of people and was like, there's two words. And this gives us justification for not liking those people. It's never translated that way. Not to mention that if you've been a Christian for a few years, you're like, it feels like Jesus, like somewhere God said that he loved his enemies though. And I don't feel like he was talking about bullies and annoying people in HR. Because when he came to earth, the Roman Empire was in charge. And they weren't known for being annoying. They weren't known for being bullies. And if Jesus was okay with us pushing back the barbarians, I'm pretty confident the Pharisees and the Sadducees would have been like, let's get on with this kind of messianic revolt. Let's go. Let's go. But they wanted to kill him. Why? Because Jesus wasn't buying into their political power. Just wasn't doing it. This guy used wrong definitions, wrong cultural understanding, and the wrong gospel. Did God love us while we were just private enemies? Annoying bullies? No. You and I were at war with God in our hearts. And he loved us anyway. He came for us. He was on a search and rescue mission for us when we were nothing but contemptible towards him. That's a way better gospel than God loving the people who just annoy him. He's 100% wrong, and it's dangerous. But just about every comment I saw on that was just, facts! Again, saying facts don't make it true. He's like, man, I wish more Christians got this. I don't. It's not true. But so much of it was like, yeah, yeah. Do you know why? Because we want to believe it. I want to believe that God lets me off the hook from loving my enemies. I'd really rather just hate some people. There's a song from Ross King. I'm going to try not to mess it up. I want to be like him when he flips a table. I want to be like him when he swings a whip. I want to be like him when he curses the fig tree just by looking at it. I want to be like him when he tells the Pharisees the depths of their own sin. But I don't really want to be like Jesus later when he dies for them. Yep. I want the angry Jesus that gives me permission to lean into my frustrations, not the one that confronts me. And I'll go find videos that'll help me confirm that bias. But it's not just stuff like that. I saw 24 videos yesterday probably saying the same thing about how the Bible, and I'm not trying to come out of the gate strong on this tonight, but I think it's just one that's popular on social media. It's like about how the Bible doesn't condemn like same-sex relationships. Okay? And I know that's a sensitive topic, and there's a lot of nuance that I would want to walk through with people on this. Okay? But what happened in all of these videos was confidence was tested with like, are you sure you've read the Bible right on this? Because I don't think you really understand the context of Leviticus, and Jesus never said this, and this didn't happen. And then it moved to the meaning getting questioned. Really, if you understood more about this word, then you wouldn't have this problem with this thing over here. You're imposing your own worldview on it. And then there was confusion. Is the ancient world really as bad as we thought it was? And after that was all done, I mentioned this a minute ago, that like the authority just got thrown out the window. Heard the same influencer on a podcast, because I went looking to find out what else was out there, say, admitted, yeah, it's a little bit more nuanced than I make it sound on my videos. The scholarship isn't as settled as I'd like it to be. But that doesn't really accomplish what I need to accomplish on TikTok. You understand what he just said? Yeah, I'm lying. But I'm lying to make a point that's good. Would that fly in the house? No, it wouldn't. And later on in an interview, he said, I'm really not even interested in justifying it from the Bible, because I don't really care. Like, I'm just trying to lean into this reality about culturally. Well, it doesn't matter for him all of the things he just challenged you on. He's not confident in the Bible. He's not certain about meaning. He doesn't have, like, surety about what something teaches, because it doesn't matter to him. But he doesn't want you to have it either. Like, brothers and sisters, like, I would just ask you, why would you listen to somebody like that? Why would we listen? Why would we intentionally listen to people who profit, whether through money, attention, time, fame, profit from deceiving us? The Lord Jesus says that he's the way, the truth, and the life. He promised us that after he left, he would send to us another comforter, his Holy Spirit, and that he would guide us into all truth. The Lord is not interested in deceiving us. He's not interested in leaving us like out to dry and just wondering. He gives us things that we need. Now, for both of those guys, I don't want to poke fun at either of those things. I think the question about the Bible and ethics is an important one that deserves a serious answer, and not just clobbering people with it. And I think people using Greek words wrongly doesn't deserve them getting made fun of. It just deserves some discipleship, right? So the answer to hearing those things and being like, what a bunch of idiots, they don't know what Greek words mean, or they don't understand context, but to say, I guess we're all a little bit more susceptible to being deceived than I realized. And so the only thing that I can do then is be more on guard against it. I think that's what I would want to encourage us all with. Because we can't watch a reply for every confusing video. We got to be reading our Bibles, praying over it, studying it, asking questions, wrestling, honestly. I just give you just a couple final cautions, and then if you got any questions, we'll take those tonight. One thing that I'll tell you to do, Marlon, I don't know if I gave you this. Okay, great. Be on guard against anyone who sets themselves up as a final authority. Just if somebody is kind of communicating that they are the end-all, be-all, just be careful there. You don't need it, but you have permission from me to do that to me. If you're ever just like, Brad, you just are like a heavy-handed. Like, we should just believe this because you believe it. And I think we'd rather read our Bibles. That'd be great. Do that. Because I am super fallible. I can be wrong. Jeremy can be wrong. Josh, all of our elders can be, we can be wrong. But the Bible can't be wrong. We may just not have understood it yet. The second caution, or the, not even caution, but just advice I'd give, is to be open and honest with your questions with people who know you, who love you, and know their Bibles. We all have questions, and I can almost promise you that whatever question you have, you are not the first person to have it. Whatever doubt you have, you are not the first person to wrestle with it. And what's really good about being in community with people is that they can see our blind spots, and they can know how to help minister to us to bring us back from the brink better than we know ourselves sometimes. Because we're a little, our desires are disordered, our mind, like we're a little curved in on ourselves sometimes. We don't know how to respond to our frustrations, our fears. We need somebody who can just be kind and say, it's not as bad as you think it is. And this isn't about the Bible. I'll just give you an example from our family. I remember one night with the boys, like, I'd blown it. This is like 5 years ago. Just blown it. And I remember coming upstairs after putting them to bed. And I was like, I just got onto them for being boys. And it's so stupid. And now everything's ruined. And Katie was in the living room. And she was like, what happened? I was like, nothing. I just pretty much guaranteed the boys aren't coming home for Thanksgiving in 20 years. baby, what happened? And told her, and she was like, it's going to be okay. She's like, you do this. I don't know if you know that. Do what? You catastrophize things a little bit. What do you mean? What's that word mean? She's like, you see things as a much bigger deal than they actually are. And like, you're a little bit like, she's like, you're just too hard on yourself with that. Like, they're going to be fine. Just go tell them you're sorry. So I already did. She's like, it's fine. That's not going to be the reason they don't come home for Thanksgiving. It's going to be something else. You know, or like, you know, it'd be going to their family's house. If I need that for how I'm raising my boys, how much more do I need that when I'm wrestling with something in the scriptures that I don't understand? And I need somebody who's been walking through like their own seasons of doubt or struggle to say, it's going to be okay. Like, I know you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel right now, but we're going to get there together. We just can't do it on our own. That's the last caution I give you, just to be patient with it. Be patient with studying your Bible. Be patient with your questions. Be patient with your friends, and be patient with your walk with Jesus. Philippians 1:6 is true, that he who began a good work in you is faithful. He will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. And there's nothing that's going to stop Jesus from doing that for you. Just hold on to him, even when you can't see the light, okay? Regardless of what TikTok says. Questions. If you've never been to a midweek before, my standard rule is, like, I'm really good at awkward silences. I can let that linger for a second. And also, if you have a question, there is a 99% probability that there's another person in the room who has that question. And it'd be better to ask it when everybody can hear it, as opposed to three of you coming up and asking the same one at the end, right? So, any questions? Nope. They say it takes 18 seconds from the time you've asked a question to formulate a response and then ask it. And that time's gone. Hey, if there's something y'all want to make sure that we talk about, you're like, man, it's one of these topics on those cards back there in the back of the room. Just mark one to two of those off. No more than two. I'm disregarding your card if there's three check marks. And drop it in the basket. If it's something you're like, that's not on there, just check other, write it on there. One of them on, let me look at my, do I have my card here? Yeah. So it's like, did Jesus ever claim to be God? Are the Gospels full of contradictions? Did Jesus and Paul have different messages? Or Jesus never said anything about blank? And fill that in with whatever, right? And that's a game you don't want to play. But that's an option. Jesus can't be the only way to heaven. Like, the miracles are a myth. Oh, hey, Michaela, what's up?
I'll ask a question.
Come on.
Okay. So since we go verse by verse,
yeah,
on a normal Sunday, we don't necessarily cover certain topics,
yeah,
that I would like to know about.
Yeah.
Should I consult TikTok?
No.
For topic study?
No.
Why not?
That is a great question. Because anybody can post anything on TikTok in the same way anybody can post anything on Facebook or at this point, self-publish their own Amazon book, right? Like, my advice would be to get a collection of sources and be like, ask Jeremy, ask me, ask your professors at school, right? Like, this is something I'm thinking on. Where should I go? Like, who's written on this? People have written on it. People have written on whether or not the miracles can be historically verified. People have written on whether or not the Bible can be trusted. I mean, libraries can be filled with each of those topics. And you don't want to just kind of go groping through there trying to just grab whatever's on the shelf. You want to be directed towards the most helpful resource. What you can do from that is once you've found like a reliable source, like say you've read a book by somebody or you've watched a series of lectures from somebody who you know is reliable and you know they have an online presence, it might be helpful to see, like, okay, they've got, like, Wes Huff is a really good example. He's a scholar at a secular university in Canada, evangelical Christian, does a lot of work in apologetics, lots of lectures, lots of great detail on there. He's got some stuff on TikTok and you know, wherever that he's going to respond to individual claims. But what I would say is, if all you're doing is seeing those bite-sized clips, it's not increasing your patient studiousness. It's limiting your ability to follow an argument, right? And sometimes, like, an argument just takes time to make. You got to be patient in, like, connecting the dots and moving piece by piece instead of just being like, oh, here's, atheist gets owned by Christian. You know, like that kind of stuff is just not normally helpful because you're watching and be like, that didn't happen. Yeah. Is that helpful? Right. Last call for Blake.
Hey.
Do we as believers have an obligation to combat these heretical teachings in the comments section?
No. No. Lord, no. Some of y'all out here fighting the good fight and just like, making sure everybody thinks that, like, can somebody show me one person who's ever been convinced of anything in a comment section? It just does not happen. It does not happen. I don't want to poke fun at it. What I will say is I appreciate the desire for truth. I do appreciate the conviction that people have to be like, man, I can't let wrong things go unanswered. I do think we would be wise to consider how effective those things are. Especially if, like, one, if I don't really post on Facebook. I feel like the last time I did, somebody got mad, and I was like, I don't want to do that anymore. If I don't know them, do I really care what they think? And if I do know them, wouldn't it be better to sit down with them? I remember saying something years ago one time, and a friend of mine reached out, and he's like, hey, I didn't really understand why you said X. I was like, it's this, and I think we just disagree on it. And he's like, yeah. I'm happy to grab lunch and talk through, though, if you want to. I think that'd be way better, even than you and I going back and forth in text. Oh, would love that. And what's happening there is it's not just about information competition. I'm actually in community with a person who maybe I'm helping sharpen, who's sharpening me, and we're working together towards, you know, building up the unity and the bond of peace, doing that kind of thing. So, but the short answer is no, get out the comment sections. Don't be in those too much. Unless you're just giving the thumbs up. Anything else, y'all? Yeah, Stephen. What's up?
Where are good resources to learn more about, like, super subtle, like, language things or, like, old Jewish idiom, like that kind of stuff? That, you know, I haven't studied language, so...
How's your Aramaic? You're not. It's a short answer. Like, not without, like, a lot of... There are just things that take a lot of study, right? There's a little bit that you can do. And this is the case... This is not just, like, because biblical studies are super hard. It's because everything at a high level is really hard. Like, I could probably watch... I'm not going to do this because I don't want to. I could probably watch a YouTube video about how to change my oil, but Express is right down the street. You know? Why am I going to do that? I'm not going to go looking for a YouTube video about how to rebuild a transmission, right? Because that's beyond my scope. That's just beyond what I am even capable of doing at this point. So let me try to figure out another way of approaching it. Let me talk to somebody who knows a little bit more about this. They can kind of ease me in. Or if I really do want to be able to do that, I've got to commit to serious study about it. You just do. There are some resources, like any good commentary of a text, academic commentary, is going to get into some language stuff. There are books like Manners and Customs of the Bible that you could read that are like edited works. And then I would recommend there's any number of Bible dictionaries. So like you can come to my office later. I'll show you what some of them look like. Like the IVP dictionary series, there's like 5 volumes that go from the Old Testament to New Testament and to look at different sections. And you just find a topic like either a region or a letter or a doctrine or a concept or a language. And you can find articles written about that from a variety of scholars. There's typically a really good bibliography at the end of it that can point you in the right direction. A place like that could be somewhere good to start. And then just finding scholars within the language that you might want to listen to. But even that, it's just going to be a little... It takes time. It just takes... Ask Matthew. That's my other answer. Ask Matthew. Matthew's got the language answers. That's who I go to. So, and that's going to be the... Like, that's an answer for most of our questions. But... Some of y'all, you're doing this with your kids right now. Like, the hard work is the reward, right? Like, everything just doesn't come easy. Sometimes, like, pushing through and the act of learning is what makes it worthwhile. Nothing that's worth doing usually comes easy. And so it just takes work. I'm not telling all of y'all that if you're going to be a faithful reader of the Bible, You need to go learn Greek. It turns out really smart people did a really good job translating the Bible. I mean, they've done really good with it. There are so many good Bible translations out there. I think it's important for most people in ministry to strive to know Greek. That doesn't mean it's necessary. Like, you can understand the English Bible. It's good. And you're not going to be led astray with it, right? So don't hear me saying, like, you just got to up your academic knowledge to get there. You don't. You don't. Really, we just need to open this up a little bit more and read it. Thank y'all for being here. Really appreciate it. Let me pray for us, and y'all can go get your kids, and we'll see y'all next week. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have spoken, that we know you, and that we can know you truthfully. Please help us to all be humble in our pursuit of knowledge and wisdom and grow in our knowledge of you, in our fear of you, and in our love of you, and to be more trusting of what you have said. Thank you for these brothers and sisters and their time here tonight, for them giving up a Wednesday evening to hang out. Pray that it's been enriching and that you would continue to use this time together for us in the coming weeks. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Hey, before you go,